Hey, Brownsbridge, happy Thanksgiving. I hope that it was a time where you were able to be thankful for the goodness of God. And now we move into Christmas season. It is officially Christmas season, which means that all of the debates that are going on your Facebook HOA page or on your family text message or with your coworkers at work about when it's appropriate to put your Christmas decorations out or when it's appropriate to start playing Christmas music, now is the time that we can all agree it's acceptable. We can move into doing all of those things. We'll just resurface that same debate November 1st of 2021 and we'll have it all over again like we do every year. And when Christmas season comes, it's this time where we have all these Christmas memories, and some of them are great and family traditions, and some of them are hard or not so great. I have a personal regret that came 4 years ago when I was giving this message to a group of middle school students, and it was really the gospel. It was this message about how God did actually send his son Jesus to earth, and he was human and he was actually here and existed. And what I did was I compared the reality of Jesus being human and being here to some of the people that as we're growing up, that we maybe believe actually exist and are real people who aren't. Now, before I finish the story, parents, you can probably tell where this regret is headed. And so I have no idea who's with you. I don't know who's watching. I don't know who's in the background, but so that I don't ruin the birth of Jesus holiday coming up, you might wanna, you know, pause or lower the volume. But I went on to tell these students about how Kris Kringle's character does not actually exist. He was not real. And now I thought that for these middle school students, they would all know that. I'm just talking about the reality of Jesus, comparing him to that person and comparing him to, you know, Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster. But what I learned very quickly after that service by the students who were crying, by the small group leaders who were frustrated because I had ruined Christmas for their students, and then afterwards by the parents who learned what I had done and I ruined Christmas for them this year and maybe for the next few years, I completely regretted having ever said anything about that. It's one of those things where if I could just take it back, if I could just do it all over again, I didn't really need it. It didn't have to be in there. I had no idea the fallout. I had no idea the shrapnel and the consequences that would come. One of the parents actually tweeted at Andy Stanley how upset he was that I had done this and then put a hashtag. It's something close to "who does Stuart think he is?" Yes, that's real. I'm not going to give you the exact one because I don't want you to go out searching it right now. But I don't think anyone, you or me or anyone on planet Earth, would voluntarily do something if they knew that the client or that the audience would actually communicate with their CEO, their senior leader, their, in my case, boss's boss at the time. And so that is a regret that I have around the Christmas season. And one thing that I know is true, and that's a silly story, but I do know that we all have regrets. This is something that we all experience. We all have decisions, things that we've done or chosen not to do that had consequences that we're still today maybe experiencing the pain of the regret that comes with that decision to do that or not do that. I mean, some of them are pretty significant. Some of them are not so silly as mine. In fact, some of my regrets are not so silly, and I'm still experiencing some of the damage of decisions that I made. And so maybe from you, maybe you look back and you wish that you hadn't have reconnected with him or with her on social media because of what came from it, that you wish you hadn't have had that extra drink or two because of what you decided to do following that. Maybe you wish that you hadn't have financed that thing. You hadn't have purchased that thing because it puts you in a compromised financial position and you just wish that you weren't having to navigate that financial tension right now. Or maybe it's a broken relationship that resulted from you choosing to say something or to use specific words or use a specific tone with your spouse or with your parents or with your friends that now you're still dealing with the regret because the damage was irreparable. and you just wish if you had it back, you would do it over again. And also in the goodness of our hearts, I think for you and for me, we don't want others to have the same regret. So this isn't something that we're like, man, I think everybody has to learn this lesson the hard way. No, I think for us, it's one of those things where we feel we don't actually want them to experience the same things that we're still experiencing. Because so many times that pain and that regret doesn't actually go away. We're carrying some of that still. And this is especially true for us as parents. I have three children myself, and I kind of look at them and I feel the weight of, man, I definitely don't want my children to experience some of the same regrets that I have. So I want them to make different decisions. I don't want them to look back and think of them as mistakes and have to navigate some of the fallout from those decisions. And so there are plenty of things that you and that I do to help our children have fewer regrets, to help our children make different decisions than we did. We try and give them experiences and parent them in a way that hopefully changes their lives to make them different than ours. And one of those might be extracurricular activities. Like you wanna get them involved, connecting with other kids their age, having another adult kind of leading them and instructing them, learning to win together and to lose together, maybe to learn what it is to be cut or not get the part and having to kind of navigate those things. And maybe when someone else is bullying them, we kind of help them navigate that situation. Or maybe it has to do with discipline, that we all try to discipline our children in a way that hopefully when they're making the little mistakes, when they're making the little decisions, we can help lovingly discipline them in a way that changes their decisions the next time they do it, so that they don't make the 15-year-old or the 25-year-old version of the same mistake and carry some of the consequences, the bigger consequences that come with that. Or technology is hard these days, like having to navigate the regrets that can come from decisions in technology. And so maybe we delay giving them a cell phone or we delay allowing them to have social media, or at least when we let them, we try and help them know, hey, here's some things that are acceptable. Here's maybe some things that you probably shouldn't do on social media. It's worth maybe just trying to have that conversation in person instead of over text message. And maybe you shouldn't say that. It could be misinterpreted. So we try and help guide them, maybe from learning from our own mistakes of damage that was done. And it's all the efforts that we're making to help protect them from decisions that would lead to regret. Or sometimes, honestly, it's so hard to do this with our kids. We've seen that even our best efforts don't necessarily lead them down the road that we hope it does. And we just hope. We just look at our kids and we love them, and we're not quite sure how to lead them down this path. And we just hope that they'll make different decisions than we did. But hope's not a great strategy. Hope is a bad strategy. And I don't know, maybe if we just lock them in the basement until they're 30, they won't make any regrets. Is that? No. They're telling me that's a bad idea. Okay, that could lead to more regrets for you. So don't do that. But what I know is that you and me, we're all trying. We're all trying to help the next generation have fewer regrets, but it's hard. I mean, you've discovered what I'm discovering now, and that's that helping the next generation avoid regret is not an easy task. Helping the next generation avoid regret is hard. And we try lots of different things. We try one thing, and if it doesn't work and they're still making the same decisions, we might want to try something else. But I want you to know, at Brownsbridge Church, we want to partner with you. We don't want to just sit back and allow you to navigate what it is to parent or what it is to try and help the people around you, the next generation, avoid the same regrets that we've made. We actually want to partner with you as a church. And that's what today's about, that hopefully we give you a few more ideas, maybe a few things that you and I could do, and maybe a few ways to challenge you and I to help the next generation avoid regrets. That's really the question that we're answering today. How do we help the next generation avoid the same regrets that we have? And the good news about this is it's also God's desire for our lives. It's actually part of how he created humanity to work, is that we would be able to look at the past and see the lessons learned and the regrets that are there to help the future avoid the same regrets. And we have this example from the Apostle Paul, where as he's trying to take the gospel to the Gentile world and he's planting churches around the Mediterranean, he travels to Corinth and he stays there for a while and helps plant a church in Corinth, which is a crazy city with all sorts of immorality and incest and idolatry and lots of bad things happening there. He plants a church in the middle of that and tries to get it started, and then he continues going about his way. And a little while later, he receives a letter from some of the people in the church in Corinth. And as he's reading the letter, he's realizing that they're beginning to make some decisions that have been made by people before them. And so he's anticipating and feeling the weight of, oh, no, wait, I want to help you avoid the regrets that are attached to these decisions. And so he responds to them with another letter, the letter that we have as 1 Corinthians in our Bible. And he responds and he's beginning to give them counsel. And you can almost feel the weight of a father who's going, hey, I don't want you to make the same mistakes. I don't want you to carry the same regrets. I don't want you to experience the same consequences that the people of the past have. And so in 1 Corinthians 10, he actually writes to them, hey, I don't want you to be ignorant of the things that happened to the people before you and the consequences that came with these decisions. And so he gives them a little bit of history of Israel. And he references back to the Old Testament when Moses was leading Israel out of Egypt and they were kind of experiencing some of the blessings of God and the miracles of God. But then they began to make some decisions that caused them to experience some significant consequences. And Paul is writing and saying, hey, I want to make sure that you know what happened before you so that you know if you go down this same road, it's not good and you're gonna regret it. Because the story that he's referencing in the Old Testament, some of the consequences were a plague for thousands of people and wandering in the wilderness only to die in the wilderness and not get to experience going in to the promised land. There were significant regrets, and Paul kind of saw that and he saw it playing out for the Corinthian churches. Hey, you guys don't want the same consequences. And so here's what he writes as he gets to the end of the story where he's telling them a little bit of the history as an example. He says, these things happened to them, to Israel back then, as examples and were written down as warnings for us, for you and for me, not just for the church in Corinth, but for us today. They were written down, they're examples, they're warnings for us on whom the culmination of the ages has come. The history is not just staying in history. God wants these things, the happenings of the past, to be used as examples for us, as warnings for us. God wants to use examples in history to help the future avoid the same mistakes. This is how he works. This is how he's always worked. And now, yes, Paul got to reference the actual history that happened in the Old Testament, the history of God and his people and the things that he did for them. And then we also have the history that he's given us in the New Testament of Jesus's life and ministry and teaching and principles and also the lives of the people who were launching the early church and mistakes that they made and consequences from that. Yes, we have that, but God doesn't just want to use those examples in history to help the future. Today, I want you to know that God wants to use your history to help change the future, to help change the next generation. God wants to use your regrets. God wants to use your struggles. God wants to use the brokenness of your past, the pain that you're still carrying from some of the decisions that you made to help the next generation, to help them avoid the same regrets, to help them have a better future. I'm asking you today, would you be willing to use your broken past to help them have a better future? Would you be willing to take the pain that you're still carrying from the regrets of your past to help the next generation have a better future? And this is good news for us. Because what it means is God doesn't want to just leave your brokenness back there for you to carry the weight of for the rest of your life. What God wants to do is he wants to use it. God has a purpose for your past. God has a purpose for your pain and my pain that we're still carrying. Now, he does not always make the pain of our past and the pain of our regret go away. You know that, and I know that because we're still carrying some of that, but he makes our pain matter. He makes our pain matter for his glory and for the lives of those around us. In fact, Paul writes another letter that we have in 2 Corinthians. He's writing another letter and he says, "Praise be to God who comforts us in all our troubles." Why does God comfort us in all our troubles? So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves received. See, you see, God, who has comforted us in our pain, who has comforted us in our consequences of our regrets, that he's there for us in that. He's not just there for us in that. He actually comforts us so that we can do this for others in any sort of trouble. And that's what he wants to do with my regret and with your regret, with my pain and with your pain. He wants to use it in the lives of those around us. God might want to take your greatest regret and turn it into your greatest ministry. The thing that you've carried the heaviest, the thing that you wish you could go back and do more than any other, God might want to use that to glorify his name and change the lives of the people around you. It might be your greatest memory. And I want you guys to know this happens over and over again. This is a story that we hear over and over again in children's and student ministry at Brownsbridge Church as adults and students begin to serve the people around them and allow God to use their story in a way that changes lives, in a way that becomes our ministry. Many of us think that our ministry is actually going to come from the change in our lives and the goodness in our lives, but I want you to know that God may have a purpose for the brokenness in your past. I want to tell you guys about a transit leader. Her name is Kendra Vinson. Kendra Vinson has led a small group of middle school girls for 3 years. Here they are. Here is Kendra, and these are all her girls and her co-leaders. And this was actually earlier this year, back when we could get this close without masks. This was in February, and at Walking Wisely weekend, a retreat weekend that we have for middle school students. And Kendra just finished leading these girls for 3 years. They're now freshmen in high school. And I got to talk to her, and I said, "Kendra, why did you do it? Why did you choose voluntarily to walk with these girls through the hard and the messy and the awkward of middle school?" And she had an answer so quickly. She said, "Stuart, I remember middle school so clearly. I remember the decisions that I made that I wish I could do over. The regrets that I have from middle school when my world fell apart. When my childhood came to an end in those years because my parents got divorced and my brother went to live with my dad and we lost our house, I knew in that moment that I could help these girls navigate the hard and the messy of middle school." And she did that for 3 years. She used her own broken story, her own story riddled with challenge and regret and consequences of living through those. And she used that story, that past, to begin to invest in the lives of the next generation for 3 years. And what's cool is that she actually got to see the way that God used her to change the future and the faith of the next generation. And I want to show you this video of this past summer when Kendra got to baptize Annie, an eighth grader, in her small group. Check it out.
My name is Annie Rose. I'm 14 years old and I go to Lakeside Middle School. I accepted Jesus as my Savior at Walking Wisely 2018. Gerald Fainemi was speaking about labels and how no one can label us but God. He asked us to look up at our small group leaders if we were ready to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. At that moment, I realized that no matter what insecurities I have, God will be there for me and He won't judge me based on my appearance. He won't see me the way I see myself. He'll see me through His perfect love.
Jesus has truly been working in my life. I'm going to read for Annie. I was diagnosed with craniosynostosis, I can't say that word, when I was 3 months old, and I had surgery twice, once when I was 4 months old, and another time when I was six. I have a scar on my head, and that has always been one of my biggest insecurities. God has shown me that He will accept me, and He will be with me every step of the way. A Bible verse that has been helpful to me is 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." I love this verse because it helps me whenever I feel like I'm being judged on my appearance or I feel insecure.
I want to thank my family, who I love so much. My small group leaders, Kendra, Kirsten, Avery, and Hallie, who have helped my faith grow tremendously. Transit for giving me a place where I can grow my faith. And my amazing small group who light up my Sunday every week. I want to get baptized to show everyone that I have accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior and to show everyone how amazing God's love is. Every step of the way, He is with me. My name is Annie Rose, and I have a faith of my own.
Well, first off, I want to say I give her a lot of credit. This wasn't part of my words, but trying to actually say your testimony in front of everyone live is a whole lot harder than just getting to show recordings. So good for you there. Annie, I've watched you grow so much over the last 3 years into an amazing young lady. You were just a little kiddo when I first met you. And you've been so open with your feelings, and you've really dug deep. And I honor that so much. I love the Bible verse that you chose. And you're not alone in your insecurities. Everybody has them. But I'm so happy that you know that God sees you as His perfect child. And I can't wait to see where your faith takes you. And because of your faith, I am honored to baptize you today in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
That's incredible, isn't it? And God wants to use our lives to have that sort of influence on the future of the next generation. And we see it over and over and over again. And so we want to ask you to do a few things today that we feel like could answer the question of how do we help the next generation avoid the same regrets that we had? And the first one is to partner with us by serving. Would you partner with us as a church by choosing to open up your life and your brokenness and your past to be used by God in the lives and the future and the decisions and the complications and the hard of the next generation walking through these formative years? And I know one of the reasons that we choose not to, it's because we're not good enough. We think that our faith isn't strong enough, that we don't know enough about God or the Bible. But I want you to know that our brokenness, our lack of perfection, our lack of being good enough is the thing that God wants to use in your life to change the future of their lives. I want you to, God doesn't want you to bring your perfection to the table. He wants you to use what He's done for you in your own brokenness. He wants you to use your vulnerability, your transparency to be open with and share your life and share your regrets with and walk alongside them in theirs. And so would you partner with us by serving the next generation? And the second thing I want to encourage us to do, parents, this is for you. Parents, would you bring your children to church? Because we made a decision at the beginning of COVID that if we have to prioritize one group, if we have to use our church to create an opportunity for one group to gather, it's going to be the next generation. We're going to prioritize the next generation and their faith and their community. And so we wanted to continue to provide that, and we have. And so parents, would you bring your children to church? Because we want this to be a place where they can come and where they can belong. We want this to be a place where they can learn about God's great love for them, no matter who they are or what they've done. Because you know that even with our best efforts, even with doing the best we can to help them avoid the same regrets that we've made, they'll make some bad decisions. They'll make some mistakes. And we want to make sure that this is a place that they have other trusted adults in their lives besides just their parents. Because there's a time in their life where they begin to listen to your voice a little bit less, where your influence on their life wanes, and they begin to look and want to hear from other adults in their life. And we want this to be a place where there are other adults that love them, that want to walk alongside them, that have opened up their own lives and experience to them to walk alongside them in the hard, in the challenging, in the mistakes, to know that we love them and that God loves them. So would you bring your children to church? And lastly, there's something that I want to encourage all of us to do. And maybe it's right after this message ends. Maybe it's a time this week when you're able to get a few minutes by yourself. And I want you to ask God, how do you want to use my past for the future of those around me? God, how do you want to use my broken past? How do you want to use my regrets to help shape the future and the faith of the next generation? And can you imagine if all of us listen to God's response to that, and we decide to intentionally align our lives with how God wants to use us? Can you imagine the influence on our community that as you and I, one by one, influence the life and the faith and the future of the next generation of the people that we're going to continue to live and work alongside? God, would you allow God to use your life for his glory and for the sake of the next generation? Let's pray. God, we want to know how you want to use our lives. Some of the pain and the regrets that we're still carrying, that you want to redeem, that you want to use to influence the people around us, that you want to use to help influence the faith and the decisions of the next generation. God, as we ask you what you would want for our lives, how you would want to use our lives, that you would give us the wisdom to know what to do and the courage to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you next week.